We've been looking at Adam, the first man, the first everything, really. He was the first husband, the first father. Adam was the first farmer, the first employer. He was the first man to walk with God. He was the first man to walk away from God. He was the first man to hide from God. He was the first man to exhibit those qualities that you and I exhibit when we're not walking with God. He was the first man to reveal sin to the world. And we've been looking in this study at Adam's attitudes. We started with the attitude of contentment last week, and we asked ourselves, what is contentment? And we began to look at Adam and realize that if Adam had been content, if he'd have been having a praise meeting, praising God for the garden, for Eve, for God himself, he never would have allowed Eve to listen, and he never would have responded with Eve to Satan's taunts, "Hath God said?" He wouldn't have had time. He'd have been too busy praising God. And you and I, as the sons of Adam, need to pay attention to the issue of contentment. This morning we look at the second character quality that seemed to be lacking in Adam. There were three that we were going to look at. This is the second. It's called faithfulness. Now I can see a little terror on some of your faces because that's a difficult subject, isn't it? Faithfulness. You see, God doesn't measure a man by how many talents he has. He gives the talents, and as the giver, he knows how many 2-talent and how many 10-talent people there are. And God doesn't measure us by accomplishments. He doesn't measure us by how busy we are, how productive we seem to be, even spiritually. That's not how he measures a man. How does he measure a man? How does God measure a woman? What's his plumb line? This morning I want to give you a measuring stick that I think you can apply to your own life that could affect the way you see God's perspective of you. I want you to look at one question. Are you faithful? The scripture outlines this whole spectrum of faithfulness in an incredible way. It begins in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And it asks an interesting question. It says, "Behold, this I have found, counting one by one, to find the account which yet my soul seeketh, but I can't find. What man among 1,000 have I found?" Now, depending on how you interpret that passage, those are the odds, 9 in 1,000 or 1 in 1,000. We know from other passages that at least 1 in 1,000 is possible. What odds? Have you ever thought about that? But look at what God does with those odds. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. "A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." So think about it now. The odds are 1 in 1,000, but that's all God needs. Now look at the eyes of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. These are great verses to thread together for memory. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, scanning the whole earth." God's looking, looking, looking for one man to show himself strong on the behalf of one man whose heart is perfect toward him, who is a faithful man, a faithful woman. God's scanning, searching, looking, and then look at the object. Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." That's not it. "A faithful man, who can find one?" Scarce indeed. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. "It is required of men who would hold positions of responsibility that they be found faithful." If that's the object, what's the objection? The objective, rather. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" what? "Faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So here's God's message in a nutshell. Here's the story. God says there aren't many, but a few can change the world. And God's looking for the few. Who are the few? Those God finds faithful. What are the few supposed to do? Find others who are faithful too. And pass it on. And what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to find others who are faithful and pass it on. That's all God wanted of Adam. You think about it. He didn't really pressure Adam for productivity. He didn't live in the kind of world we live in today. Adam had no time clock to punch, no quota to meet. Just be faithful, Adam. Tend the garden. Do those little tasks you've been given to do. Don't worry about building a hamburger chain out of the cattle surplus. Don't worry about building a new Disney World with the animals you have left over. Just be faithful, Adam, God was saying. The long haul is up to me. You tend the garden, Adam. Keep the garden. That word keep, you remember, means protect it from intruders. Keep your eyes on the hedges, Adam. It won't be a nuclear invasion that spoiled your paradise, but neglect. A talking snake. You know the snake, Adam. You named him. A snake that blasphemes God shouldn't be allowed in your garden, Adam. Don't blame Eve, Adam. It's your garden, and it's your responsibility to keep out intruders. Be faithful. That's the issue. You do the details. Leave the results up to God. And Adam, keep your eye on Eve. She's your responsibility. If she's being deceived, be strong. Drive out the serpent. Drive home the point. Lead her back to where God is. Ask God about that snake, Adam. You know, there's nothing in Scripture that indicates Adam ever bothered to ask God about that snake. Oh, Adam, all God wanted was for you to be faithful. And my friend, that's all God wants of you and of me. Faithfulness. What is it? By definition, it is to demonstrate the fullness of one's faith by remaining in place. To demonstrate the fullness of one's faith by remaining in place. A faithful man is one whose faith will not permit variance or desertion. To be faithful is to be like a tree, standing, waiting, serving, one day bearing fruit, but never trying to transplant itself or move itself. It takes years to become a tree, so you never quit. If you quit, you're finished. You never complain. You silently stay in place. You let your roots go down deep and you grow. That's the faithful man. That's the faithful woman. A tree planted by rivers of living water. Well, let's define faithfulness. Faithfulness. There's an attitude, attributes, and an activity. The attitude of faithfulness is loyalty. We'll see that in a moment. The attribute of faithfulness primarily is dependability. You can count on them. And the activity is to be steadfast, loyal, dependable, and steadfast. Now, let's look at some marks of a faithful man or woman. Number one, they're loyal in their heart to God. Their heart never wavers as to who God is or who has first place in their life. Number two, they're loyal to their friends and to their family. They know that he knows he would die for them rather than be disloyal to them. And they're faithful to whoever God puts over them, the government, the employer, the spiritual authorities, the guy that pays the bills, is the people he works for, the product he works for, gets a good report. He is faithful. Not only is he loyal, but his loyalty reflects itself in dependability. The faithful man comes to work every day, every day. That he's supposed to be there. Excuses are not made for him. And he comes on time. You can set the clock by him. The faithful man, so reliable, once he volunteers to do something, you check it off as done. He's trustworthy. You don't count the money when he goes off duty. You know it's all there. He takes the menial jobs, the unnoticed jobs, and he turns them into labors of love. He is dependable. The third thing is his attitude is loyalty. The attribute is dependability. The activity is steadfastness. Excuse me. His attitude is loyalty. The attribute is dependability. And the activity is steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So there you have a faithful man. A steadfast Christian tree. Not blown by every wind of doctrine. Not flitting from job to job, from friend to friend, from church to church, from responsibility to responsibility, always looking for more. The faithful man stays in place and serves. The faithful man moves only when God says, go. The faithful man or woman finishes what he or she starts. Steadfast. That's what it means. Now, I asked you last week to begin to learn to play this little game with your family called What Is? And every week we would take a new character quality, or not every week, but as we go through these biographies, we'll look at different character qualities. And I'll ask you to spend time with your family, even if you don't have children, to spend time talking about what is and take that quality and trying to get little one-liners that help you to remember what that quality is. And we did that with contentment last week. This morning we ask ourselves, what is faithfulness? Now let me give you some starters. Number one, faithfulness works long but never looks at its watch. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness cleans under the bed where nobody ever sees. I got some dirty looks at the first one from that. And at the second. Okay. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness waits when asked to and never knows he's waiting. Faithfulness needs no gold watch at the end of its years. It never considered time as important when there was a task to do. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness never undermines the integrity of its authority. It's too busy serving. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness has a time card that looks like a broken record. 729, 729, 729. Always on time. Faithfulness is a mother of three at 3 a.m. Faithfulness is the absence of petty excuses for not going to work. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is a dog who would not leave its master's side. Faithfulness is a church custodian who never misses but's never noticed. Faithfulness is that nursery worker who changes your child's diapers week after week, day after day, just because it pleases God. Faithfulness is the shut-in who can never come to church but never stops praying for those who can. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness keeps no comparative tabs on God. It's too busy remaining in place. Faithfulness is more concerned with meeting God than meeting deadlines. Faithfulness rises on time to be with God just because He is God. Faithfulness studies the Word of God just because it is the Word of God. Faithfulness would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Faithfulness doesn't concentrate on bearing fruit. It concentrates on remaining in place. The fruit bearing belongs to God. Faithfulness is a woman. Who but a woman would wash the clothes, change the diapers, fix the meals, bandage bruised elbows, keep the house, run the errands with 103 degrees fever, and still smile patiently when hubby grunts, "I'm hungry, when do we eat?" Faithfulness is my wife. Faithfulness is the mother or father who hangs in there through PTA meetings, recitals, school plays, growing pains in adolescence. Faithfulness. God's Word is filled with pictures of faithfulness. Such names as Moses, David, Abraham, Timothy, and Paul, and Jesus. Those are 6 of the 12 people in Scripture that were referred to as faithful. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to be in that category? Well, how many of you think you never could? Because look at who they are. It is said of David, 1 Samuel, Numbers 12, 7, of Moses, "He was faithful in my house." 1 Samuel 22:14, it was said of David, "Who's more faithful than him? He's not sinless, but he's faithful." Abraham, Nehemiah 9:8, "Abraham, your heart was found faithful." Timothy in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul in 1 Timothy 1:12. Jesus in Hebrews 3:2. "Christ Jesus faithful to him who appointed him." Now I know what you're thinking. You say, "How do you know that?" Because I think the same thing. I can't be a Moses. I can't be an Abraham. I can't be a David. I can't be a Paul. I can't be a Timothy. I can't be a Jesus. Oh. Well, let's look at the other 6 names of people that were referred to in Scripture as faithful. Hananiah. Nehemiah 7:2. He was a faithful man. How about Tychicus, Ephesians 6:21? How about Epaphras, Colossians 1:7? Onesimus, Colossians 4:9? Silvanus, 1 Peter 5:12? Antipas, Revelation 2:13? What about them? See, maybe you can't be a Paul, but maybe you can be an Antipas. Maybe you can't be an Abraham, but you can be an Onesimus. Maybe you can't be a Timothy, but you can be a Tychicus. God didn't honor them for their accomplishments. He honored them for their faithfulness. And along with these portraits of men in Scripture and women in Scripture who were faithful, there are at least three principles that are reviewed in Scripture concerning faithfulness. And if you pay attention to those principles, you will begin to see how they affect the way you train up your children and how you work in an environment where Christian leadership is concerned. I want to go over those principles. Principle number one. Only if you are faithful in life's little tasks will you be faithful when the big ones come along. You say, you can't prove that. Yes, I can. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Memorize it. Make your disciples and your children memorize it. It says this, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust or unfaithful in the little assignments will be so when the big ones come along. That's an absolute. Don't take a man or woman who's proved themselves faithless in a Mickey Mouse job and give them a bigger one thinking that'll challenge him or motivate him to be faithful. Beloved, that's the world's thinking. It's not God's. God says the man or the woman who is unfaithful in the little tasks of life need to be moved one step further down the ladder until they prove themselves faithful. Ouch. Principle number two. In God's kingdom, the more faithful you are, the more responsibility you'll get. Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. In other words, both here and in heaven, God's key appointments aren't going to go to the big guys who can do it all. They're going to be to people like Moses, stuttering, stammering Moses, who was faithful. If a man isn't faithful in the day-to-day grind, God won't make him chairman of the board, and neither should we. Principle number three, if you can't be faithful with temporal things, you won't be faithful with spiritual things. If you treat your earthly possessions lightly or presumptuously, the Scripture says that's the same way you'll treat the Word of God. You say, prove it. Luke chapter 16, verse 11 and 12. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the handling of things, who will commit to your true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who shall give you that which is your own? That leads us to some crucial truths about operating in the church and in the home. And I ask you to listen carefully to these truths. Truth number one is, don't give new Christians too much responsibility too soon. Paul said that you don't give a leadership to a novice, lest pride be his conqueror and others fall with him. If you're a fairly new Christian and somebody asks you to serve on a board somewhere, refuse. Let God train you first in the shade. Let Him test you on church work days. Truth number two, the test isn't the talent, but the faithfulness. We need to learn that. Somebody becomes a Christian, it's tempting to thrust them into the limelight because they can sing like a bird or preach like an angel. God will still use their talents someday, beloved, but you may slow down the spiritual pace of their spiritual growth if pride is allowed to take its toll. Here's the rule. If they can sing, let them first sing praises to God on a hilltop alone until they so walk with God that their song becomes an expression of faith. If you say he can speak, then let him learn to speak to the man by the side of the road. God will exalt him to the multitudes in due time. Principle number three, or truth number three, you test the new believer first with temporal responsibility. When I first became a Christian, I'll never forget it, the first job I had in the church was to park cars in the church parking lot. Sunday morning, Sunday night. In the summer, the temperature seemed like it was usually over 100, though it probably wasn't. And in the winter, it seemed like it was usually below freezing, which it probably wasn't. And week after week, we had to be there. Sometimes we froze, sometimes we sweated, we got fussed at, we got confused. We had one guy who didn't want to park his, want us to park his car where we parked it, so he drove over the parking attendant's foot. We had all kind of things. And I tell you what, I learned more about serving in that job than I have in any job in the church since. You want to be a spiritual leader someday? Show up at work days. Pick up bricks. Sweep after those who do. Clean up. Do whatever needs to be done. Humble yourself. Week after week after week, God will honor your faithfulness. Truth number four, then you grant additional responsibility proportionate to their faithfulness. How well did they do in the parking lot? How well did they do on work days? How did they do serving food? 50% work record? Pass over them. Even for ushers or committee chairmen, first teach them to be faithful where they are. That's what the Scripture teaches. Well, I promised you that whenever we'd go through these principles, we'd have a little parenthesis and talk about how to teach them to children. So this morning I want to give us a couple of hints on how to teach faithfulness to our children or grandchildren or people we minister to. Here's number one, learn to reward faithfulness rather than accomplishment. You got two children, both of them are going to school, same grade, same job, same tasks. One of them studies and works and studies and works and sweats and comes up with a B minus, but he gave it all he had. The other one could easily make A's, but kind of takes it easy and comes up with an A minus or a B plus. You know what we tend to do? We tend to elevate the one that made the higher grade. What we're supposed to do is honor the faithfulness of the one that worked the hardest. That's the character quality that will stand the test of time. You may have a child going out for football that really doesn't make it. Maybe they work and they show up for every practice and they do all their preparation and all their calisthenics and everything, and they go out there and they give it all they got and they don't make the team. And maybe there's another kid over here that's so naturally talented, all he has to do is walk on the field and everybody goes like this. Who's going to get the acclaim? The world is going to give the acclaim to the one with the talent. You give the acclaim, according to Scripture, to the one who was faithful. That's the principle. You may have a child that plays the piano and has a lot of talent. You may have another one that's like some of the rest of us that can't even spell the word talent. But they give it all they've got. Honor their faithfulness. You'll be teaching them a lesson that'll last for eternity. Suggestion number two, teach faithfulness by nature. Consider the ant, thou sluggard, it says. Here you learn diligence from the ants. You learn faithfulness from a tree that stands under the rain and the heat. You learn faithfulness through a dog. You can read stories about animals. Instead of majoring on the story, major on the qualities that animal or that person in the story demonstrates. Suggestion number three, begin with the details of life and then grant greater responsibility based on their faithfulness. You say, because you cleaned your room so well when I asked you to, I'm going to give you the responsibility now of doing such and such. I am so proud of you. Suggestion number four, look for faithfulness in people and point it out, particularly in the living legends of the word. Faithfulness. Well, we have to close by doing what we never want to do, but always have to do, and that is personal application. I'm going to give you a quiz. You love those. Nobody has to say anything out loud. That's the good part. Nobody's allowed to cry. That's the other rule. I'm going to give you 10 questions. I want you to grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 on all 10. So 1 to 10 on all 10 of the questions. And the perfect score then would be 100. If you get 100, you're faithful, but you may need to work on your humility. All right, question number one. Are you faithful spending time with God? Is it every day, every other day, almost every day, now and then? Is it seldom? Grade yourself 1 to 10. How faithful are you in your time alone with God? Some of you have figured out you're going to be in the 90s somewhere. Okay. Question number two. Are you faithful in the details of life? In other words, if you're a woman at home, do you clean under the bed regularly? That's what I got the scowls for earlier. Or do you clean behind things that are not seen, usually? So much for that. All right. Guys, is the world open to your closet? I hate to tell you about my closet. How many of you remember Fibber McGee? Have you ever heard any of you old folks? I've still got 2 8-track recorders in my closet. That's how far back I go. But how about your desk? Does it stay neat? Can you find it? Okay. Does your to-do list stay checked off, or can you find it? You get the picture. Are you faithful in the details of life? 1 to 10. Some of us are going to be in the 80s. Okay, number 3. Are you faithful to your friends? Do you give more than you take? Do you invite more than you go? Do you love whether you're loved or not? Are you faithful to your friends? You know the answer to it. 1 to 10. Number 4. Are you faithful to the people you serve under? Do you badmouth your employer? Ladies, do you talk about your husband to your friends in a disrespectful way? How do you talk about your parents? How do you speak about your teachers? How faithful are you to those God has placed over you? Number 5, are you faithfully on time? 1 to 10. Can you set the clock by you? Or are you consistent only in your inconsistency? Are you selfish when you are on time and that you run all over people and let others clean up your mess so you can get there and prove you were on time? Are you faithful with your time? Question number 5.5, would you like to quit? No. Number 6, do you finish what you start? How is your track record on household fix-it projects? Mine is a minus 12. I put down minus 4, and then I thought of 3 other things. My wife reminded me of one project that's going to take 5 minutes that I have put, it's been a year now. Household project, fix-it project. How about sewing projects? Church project. How about that book of remembrance you were going to start 6 years ago? How about the prayer notebook you were going to start 5 weeks ago? Getting quiet. Okay, number 7. Are you faithful to protect your family? Do you see spiritual intruders and keep them out? Do you exhort your family in spiritual matters? Number 8. Are you faithfully in the Word day after day after day? Even when you don't have to be. When there's no Bible study to attend. When there's no class to teach. Number 9. Are you faithful in your mind? Are your thoughts as holy as others think they are? Number 10, are you faithful with your possessions? Do you spend wisely, save wisely, and give generously? Now, here's how you score yourself when you get home after you've cried a while. 100 to 80 means you are a faithful man or woman. Maybe not real humble, but faithful. Number 80 through 60, you're developing a faithful spirit. You're on the way. If your score was 60 to 40, you are at least thinking about moving toward being faithful. If your score was 20 to 40, you have a long way to go. And if you're 0 to 20, we have an unfaithful man or woman in the mirror in the morning. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, and I love this passage until it's applied to me, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Putting your confidence in an unfaithful man is like trying to walk on a broken foot or trying to chew with a broken tooth. Faithfulness. How faithful are you? Well, I promised you there as we began this series that every time we took a character quality, we would relate it to some attribute of God which makes that quality possible. We did with contentment. We were to be content because God is spirit, right? And they that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, we can be content with such things as we have, because the things that we have that count are spiritual. Now, today we're looking at faithfulness, and this is an easy one, but this is a blessed one. We can be faithful because the Christ who lives in us is what? Is faithful. He is the faithful one. Let's look at some verses just to tie some of these together and memorize them. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he said he would, and the Lord did unto Sarah just exactly as he had spoken. What a God. His word is 100%. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with them that love him, and he keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Joshua 23, 14. You know in all your hearts and in all your soul, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning to you. All are come to pass. Not one thing has failed. Is your word like that? Why not? God lives in you, and he is faithful. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that has given you rest according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Psalm 89:33, my loving kindness I will not take from thee, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, thy faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Jeremiah 33:20 says, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be no day or night in their season, then you can break my covenant. Has night never ever not followed day? Has spring never followed winter? Has there ever been a time when the sunrise hasn't followed the darkness? No. Why? Because of the faithfulness of God. That's what he wants in you. That's what he wants in me. Lamentation 3:23, great is thy faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you. He'll do it. 1 Peter 4:19, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Revelation 22:6, and he said unto me, these things are faithful, and these sayings are true. My friend, make no doubt about it, God is faithful. His word is faithful. And when you and I are filled with his Spirit and led by his Spirit, we will be faithful too. So just imagine for a moment. Just try to visualize. You come across the Master and you look into his eyes. And as he takes you in his arms, your heart swells from within until he asks five simple words. How faithful have you been? Can you imagine? Just like Job, our surface weak defenses, we begin to justify why faith was not intense. Oh, Lord, I sang for you so well. Hundreds heard my praise. And softly yet we hear him say, how faithful were your ways? Lord, I preached to thousands. My words were wrought with power. And softly yet we hear him say, could you not watch 1 hour? Oh, Lord, my giving was so great. I labored for the poor. I worked and worked to gain more wealth so I could give them more. Then the Lord said nothing. But his silence could be felt. Then as his voice so softly spoke, my heart began to melt. My child, I do not measure you by all the things you've done. Nor do I yet reward a man for battles he has won. I ask of all men one thing, and this I ask of you. I ask, but were you faithful in what you had to do? Were you faithful on your knees day after day after day? Not how flowery were your prayers, but how faithfully did you pray? Were you faithful on the job? Did you remain in place? Did you labor amidst the strife, knowing I would give more grace? Were you faithful with your family? They were assignment one. Were you as faithful to them, my child, as I am to my son? Were you faithful in the little things that no one else would do? The endless tasks, the thankless tasks where no glory came to you? Were you faithfully in the Word, line upon line upon line? No one unfaithful to my Word can be a disciple of mine. Be faithful, my child. Be faithful. That's what I want you to be. Loyal, dependable, steadfast, remaining in place for me. Faithful in all the details of life. Faithful without a claim. Faithful again and again and again to all that brings praise to my name. Be faithful, my child. Be faithful in the things that seem so small. Be faithful, my child. And one day, you shall be ruler of all. Our Father and our God, we recognize that even this morning the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, seeking the man or woman who would be faithful. We know, Father, that there are not many. One in a thousand. We know, Father, that it seems there are so few that end up doing so much in the kingdom. So few who really are faithful. But you've told us, Father, a little one can become a thousand. A small one can become a strong nation. You can do it. All you ask of us is that we let the faithful one who lives in us teach us to be faithful too. By your grace, may we leave this place this week determined in our spirits to allow that to begin to happen in ever-increasing splendor. From one degree of glory to another. May we take the areas of our lives where unfaithfulness reigns. May we humble ourselves and ask forgiveness of those we've offended. And may we become, by your grace, faithful men and women. In Jesus' name, amen.